All right, men. Well, good morning. Good morning. Good to hear you're awake. Hey, we're going to wrap up this morning our kind of three-week study here, if you throw in the men's arsenal, called Show Yourself a Man. And hopefully you've been encouraged by the Word of God through this. And we've seen from the first week just our call from 1 Kings chapter 2 as men to lead, protect, and provide, and kind of what that looks like big picture. And then last Tuesday as we gathered, we looked at nine very specific areas that we are to initiate and lead as men. And certainly that translates into our home and largely translates into the workplace as we lead, and other circumstances as men as well. And so today what we're going to do is we're basically going to try to look at what we need to do vertically first, which is primary, to then live out the horizontal, which we largely focused on last week, right? And so if you remember from 1 Kings chapter 2, that was kind of the primary call from David to Solomon. It was to walk in his ways, to keep his commands. It was this call above all else to worship your God Almighty and to praise him, and then allow that passionate worship to overflow into joyful obedience. And so we just want to spend some of our morning this morning just to talk about that, how we can be primary in keeping our relationship with the Lord vertical, and allow that to overflow into the horizontal as we seek to lead, protect, and provide as men. And so kind of how we're going to do that this morning is to really try to connect this study to a previous study that we've done to cover some of that material. Perhaps you were here for the study that we did called Contagious. And so we're going to kind of look at some of that information and kind of connect it back to this study as well. And if you're not familiar with that, there was a triangle that we used, and it talked about three different ways that helps us stay vertical in our relationship with the Lord. And it's in your little pamphlet there. And so Pastor Tim and Pastor Steve are going to come up and follow me and kind of help walk through this information some. And so basically what we see here through this triangle, it's three different E's, right? And so first of all, we need to encounter the Lord. We need to encounter the Lord in his word. And we realize who he is. We realize how great he is. And we have relationship with the Almighty God of the universe. We encounter him. And then hopefully that leads us to exalt him. It leads us to exalt him in worship, and things like prayer and confession and thanksgiving. And then when we realize who God is, how great he is, and it causes us to worship him, to realize how great he is, then we move to the last piece, which is engage. And this is kind of this general idea, right, that passionate worship, man, it overflows into joyful obedience. And so we engage in walking out our faith and living out our faith. And part of that certainly means living it out as a man, living it out as we lead, protect, and provide. And so we're going to walk through that information this morning, and hopefully along the way that will help equip you to nail down this vertical piece, which then allows us to live out the horizontal that we've been talking about as well. So I'm going to pray, and then Pastor Steve is going to come up and tackle the first E, and then Pastor Tim will take it from there. So pray with me. Father, we thank you for this new day. Lord, we know it's a gift from you. And so, Lord, we pray today that you would help us to live with purpose, with joy, that you would help us to seek to live out the mission that you've called us to by your grace. And so, Lord, we've gathered here this morning to hear just from your word, to be challenged to draw close to you, to be challenged to live out the calling that you've given us as men, to love you, to love others, to serve you, to serve others, and to lead. And so, Father, we pray that you would use this time, Lord, to change us and to grow us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right. So this is a group of men, right? This is a forgiving group of men, right? I'm going to start off with a confession. Do I have any coffee drinkers out there this morning? Do I have any coffee drinkers that showed up this morning expecting to have coffee and didn't have coffee? My bad. It's on me. Forgot to get the pots going, and we could have started it, but by the time we were done, the coffee would have been done by the time the pots. So that's on me. Apologize for that. Came in this morning already to press the start button and then thought, oh, we blew it. So thank you for your indulgence. We'll try to keep you awake here for all of you who count on that caffeine in the morning. But so if you want to paint a target on somebody, it's me. So I'll own up to that. Well, you heard Shane talk about that triangle, that contagious Christian that we've been talking about and going through over and over again over the last year or so. And guys, why do we keep seeing this show up? It's because it is so important for us to understand. For so long, I don't know about you guys, but for so long, I've been one of those guys just trying to muscle it. And I would go and I would read a passage of scripture, I would see the things of scripture, and then I just try my hardest to go do it and lose sight of the relationship with Jesus Christ in the midst of it and Him changing me. And so all of that though starts with first this encounter with God. And understanding what it is we want to do, or how it is we come before God and to God, and how it is that we hear from God. And in your notes to that first section, we see encounter God, and we see a clear view, getting a clear view of God. And I just want to encourage you, we didn't even put any blanks in there. We kind of wrote some things out, but we gave you a lot of room to kind of fill in some things. And I just kind of want to walk through really quick and say, okay, what is that supposed to look like? How is it that we encounter God? And the first question is really, what is this about? And simply put, it's when I sit down with the Bible in my hand, and for me, a lot of times it starts off with, Lord, speak to me right now. And that seems so so simple and so trivial at times, but it's amazing how for so many years and for so much of the time, I would forget that little question there, that little of inquiring God, engaging God in this, because I would have a tendency of reading this like a textbook. And let me be honest, it's a pretty good textbook. But I'm losing sight of the fact that this is more than a textbook. This is God's letter to me. This is God speaking to me. And so what are we looking for? We're looking for who God is. For what God is trying to do. We see who I am and the condition of man. And this is the scripture is the great revealer. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And it just so accurately can dissect who I am and what's going on in my heart. And so it's just sitting down and saying, well, okay, what is it, Lord? What is it, Lord, that you want to speak to me today in this moment? About. It's amazing how just that right there puts me in the right frame of mind to listen and to hear from God. About 24 years ago, I took a homiletics class at Cedarville University, and my homiletics professor gave us a nice little tool. And if you want to, just right there in that space, write out this acronym, SPECS. S-P-E-C-S. SPECS. S-P-E-C-S. When you're going into scripture and you're looking to hear from God, my homiletics professor would say, look for the specks, look for the sins. Where is it that God says that this is what we should not be doing, what we should be doing? Look for the sins. The P in specks is look for the principles or promises. It's kind of two P's there. Look for the principles. Is there a principle that God's saying, hey, look, this is the way it should be. This is a principle for you to live by. Or is there a promise where God says, hey, let me tell you, if you do this, this is what I'm going to do. This is who I am, and this is how I manifest that in your life. Is there a promise that we can be claiming in the midst of the passage that we're looking at? E is for example. Much of scripture are narratives. It's telling a story, and there's many, many examples that we see of God coming alongside individuals and doing some amazing things in the lives of individuals. We see their responses to that and maybe some examples for us to live by. The C is for commands. Is there a command? Is there an imperative? Is there a where God just simply says, this is what you're supposed to do. Go do this. And the last S there in specs is stumbling blocks. in this passage, do we see a stumbling block? Do we see something there where God says, watch out, warning, be careful, because this is something that might trip you up? Sins, principles and promises, examples, commands, and stumbling blocks, the specks. When we're approaching Scripture, we say, Lord, speak to me today. There's some very helpful things, just a little tool right there to be looking at and be looking for as you go into God's Word. So then how do we get into God's Word? And you see these seven things. We've kind of taken the whole idea of the White Hot series. And for those of you that were there a part of this, this is kind of the condensed version. Okay, and just kind of walking through these seven steps. The first thing we see is to pick a passage. If maybe you're struggling with being on a plan, good news. Every week in the bulletin, there's a reading plan. Have you guys seen that? And if you don't see it in the bulletin and it got left in the chair, understand how that happens sometimes. You can go online into the resource section. And that's just a continual resource that Pastor Tim and Jonna make available. And it ties in with the sermon series. It's a great thing. It's something that my family and I use often, kind of work through as a family as part of the stuff that we go through. But as you sit down for a passage, one of the things we encourage you, start with looking through a passage, kind of bold section to bold section. You guys ever notice when you open up your Bible that there are these big, bold, black headings? And what has happened in the ESV Bible, the editors of that went through and they kind of went through and just kind of made their sections kind of by, this is a kind of a thought. A pericope is what the word is. This is a kind of a complete thought on this subject here. And they've kind of broken those chapters up into those sections. And a lot of times that's a good way to start. It's just kind of reading through bold section to bold section. And then read through that several times. I don't know if you're like me, especially if you're reading in the morning. Sometimes I miss things the first time through. And to read through something, read through that passage a couple of times. And then this is for me. Number three is kind of one of the biggest things that has really helped me in hearing from God in Scripture, especially when I'm reading through a section that I've read through maybe several times before. And that's take those verse by verse, sentence by sentence, and rephrase it and put it in your own words. Now, sometimes it's kind of easy and kind of like maybe cheat a little bit and just kind of, okay, I'll just kind of do it in my head. And that's good. But I'll tell you what, guys, for me, it's so important to actually write it down and rephrase it, rewrite it in my own words. Say, okay, what is that saying? And just putting it into my own words. After I do that, number four, it says to look for the verbs. Every sentence, for all of you English scholars, can attest to, every sentence has to have a verb to be a sentence. Sometimes it has a subject. Well, technically it always has a subject. Sometimes the subject is implied and other things. But the verb is many times the key to a sentence. What's taking place? What's the action that's taking place in that verb? And sometimes just circling those verbs, isolating those verbs will help a lot in understanding what's really the main point of that sentence. And then looking for the power words. Is there a big power word in that section? Maybe out beside that you can write down, look for time words. Words that denote time. And then they did. Those types of things. Look for connecting words. Where it's connecting the thought or sometimes, and likewise, in the same way. Look for purpose statement words. Look for the therefores. The because of. Those types of things. Number six. Summarize then the view that's been cleared up. Literally saying, take what it is through that section of Scripture, that paragraph, and say, okay, if I'm going to put this into one sentence, one main idea, one big idea, one principle that we see from this, and write it out in one sentence. Lord, what are you saying in this one main point? There may be 27 subpoints in that, but what's the one main point in that? And write that down. Lord, what is it that you're saying to me today? Main point. And then number seven, very important. Take that main point, that big idea from that passage, and then turn that into an action statement. Turn that into and say, okay, if this is the main point, Lord, what I'm hearing you say to me this morning is, and you got your one sentence and say, therefore, because of that, now, what am I going to do today? And say, okay, Lord, what is it you want me to do? And put that into an action statement. One thing to do, action to act on that. Does that make sense? You with me on that? So you put that action statement. I'll tell you, there's a difference too between when we talk about application, sometimes we talk about there's macro application and there's micro application. Okay? You guys know the difference? Macro application is the big picture, overarching things. If we were reading through Ephesians 4, get to Ephesians 4:32, it says, be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you, and kind of work through that. And it says to be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving, and you might end up and say, okay, one action statement, Lord, I'm hearing you say to me is, I need to be kind. Is that an action statement? Is that a good application? And so I go through the day, and at the end of the day, I come up and I say, okay, was I kind? Kind of hard to measure that one, isn't it? Maybe moments, maybe not. And so that macro application would be the being kind, and micro application would be the two or three things that I'd say, because you're telling me to be kind, here's three things I'm going to do to put that into practice this week. And it's very specific and very measurable. Micro application. What is it that I can do? Well, I can for sure tell my wife goodbye and tell her that I love her before I leave instead of just kind of grunting as I walk out the door. And those types of things. Make sense? At the very bottom, you see some more tools. And one of the things I just want to encourage you, if you do not have a good study Bible, get one. It's amazing how as you're going through Scripture, and this here, this is not a study Bible, does not have the study notes here, and this is a great one to speak out of, but I've got one sitting right beside my sofa there in the living room. It's a good study Bible, has good study Bible notes, so that when I read through something, if I don't know, there's generally a note on that verse that helps give some clarity. And the ESV study Bible is a fantastic study Bible, goes right with the ESV version. And so I'd encourage you. It's something you can get in the bookstore and you can pick up other places or online. But a good study Bible is an important tool. Another is to have a simple, basic commentary. And you've heard Tim speak up before. The Bible Knowledge Commentary is a fantastic little two-volume commentary. And it's got one volume's Old Testament, one volume is the New Testament. It's something that all of us have. And it's just a great, simple... You're not going to get a whole big, long... couple pages on each verse type of thing, but you're going to get a nice little section verse by verse and walk through. And it's the faculty of Dallas Theological Seminary put that together a few years back. And it's a great resource to say, you know what? Normally I sort of get it, but this is kind of confusing in this passage. What's really being said here? You can go to that commentary and find that. Another good resource just came out last week, guys. And James McDonald just wrote a book, the Act Like Men book. And it's kind of a continuation of the Act Like Men conference. And what they've taken is it's a 40-day guide that walks through. It's only, three, four, five pages a day. It's just something simple. You can read through and work through it in 40 days. Kind of goes thematically from that conference and with a lot of great insight and resource. Something highly recommend. Something we'll have in our bookstore here as well. You can pick up online. Great resource. And another one is the Biblical Manhood book. And I think we have some copies for that. Much of the Tuesday Night Men's Arsenal and last week, much of the material came out of this little booklet called Biblical Manhood, and some great resources and many more. And it's something that we're going to be giving to you as you leave here today. But there's just some resources and some good things that would help you. Most important thing, guys, is it starts with your encounter with God. It starts with sitting down and saying, Lord, speak to me, talk to me today, because God is a relational God. and establishing that relationship, and so that we are seeing God and listening to God in what we're doing, and that's the starting point.
Thanks, man. All right. Deep breath. It's like 6:40 right now. And some of you are like, all right, I'm trying to take notes. I'm writing this down. And you're like letting it hit your head. And that's about all it's hitting at best. All right. What we need to do, everybody take a deep breath for real. Real deep breath. Do it with me. All right. We're talking three steps. Encounter, exalt, engage. Look at the title. Be strong, show yourself a man. So this is what we see when we look up there. Show yourself a man, right? That's the engage part. And we're great with that, and we've talked about that in the last 2 weeks. We're going to talk about it more in the end here in just a second. But show yourself to be a man. It's engage. And that's great, but if all you do is stand up and try to go show yourself a man, I'm telling you it's going to last you about 3.5 weeks. Like, we get after something, and we're like, okay, here we go. We're going to do this thing. And then you get a little bit of faithfulness and a little bit of consistency, and you change a few habits, and then everything starts tailing off. Because, in fact, nothing has changed in my heart. I'm still the same person that I was. I have the same value system in general. The Holy Spirit hasn't actually transformed me at all. So that's what I get. I get the human level of change, which is temporary. Everybody say temporary. That's what we get when we just go muscle it. So let's be careful. This is not a call to temporary change. This is not a call to try to show our spouses or our kids or our coworkers or our friends what it could look like if I really let God change me. Never mind, I'm going back to the old me now. Like, it's not that. It's show yourself a man. What are the first two words? Be strong. Well, where does that come from? Not you. Be strong. That's the Holy Spirit changing you. That's life change, and without it, nothing happens of long-term value. All right? So when we're talking about encounter, exalt, engage, I'm telling you, encounter and exalt, essential if you're going to go forward with the show yourself a man. So Steve was talking about time in the Word, right? And how do I dig in? And all too often we open up the Word and we're like, yeah, whatever. And okay, I think I get it. I know this. I've heard this story before. I've read these words before. And so we sort of check out. And we're not really walking away with this statement. Who is my God? And what is He saying? Like, that's encounter. Who is my God and what is He saying to me? And as Steve was saying, they're a great example of just rephrasing. And man, those seven steps, that's what I do every week as I'm getting prepped to preach. I walk through a passage. I read it over several times. I spend the time to rephrase. I get to a point where I summarize and I try to distill it down to some basic commands. Then I go back and I look for the where's the big God statements. And I bring those out. God, show me you in this. I bring those up to the top. And then if you notice, those are when I get a little animated up front. Like, that's what we're talking about. When I'm getting pumped, it's on the big God moments. All right? So now I take those big God statements and some of the truth, and now we step into the second E, exalt. All right? If we don't do the exalt, there is no life change. Hear me now. It is not encounter, engage. It is not that. If you do that, that's another form of muscling it. We're well informed, and we're still trying to make it happen ourselves. So the exalt is where the life change occurs. This is the E that will rock your world. Exalt. All right? And so a few things we wrote down here. Confession, prayer, and thankfulness. All right? Confession, prayer, and thanksgiving. Let's just break them down. Confession. Great passage for it. Psalm 139. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. You want to start a great moment of exalting? Start with that verse. Read those two verses off. Commit to them. Search me, O God. What right now? In light of what I just read, in light of who you are in what I just read, what right now needs to go? Until you clear house, picking up something new isn't going to happen. Like, Lord, I'm ready. I'm handing this over. Please forgive me. And then be deeply specific. Please forgive me for the temperament that I have had in this home. Please forgive me for the attitude I've brought and the sense that I've brought to my kids, to my wife, to my coworkers. Man, please forgive me for the terrible representation of you that I've had at the workplace. Lord, please forgive me for whatever it is that needs to go. Be done with it right then and right there. You're like, yeah, but I keep repeating this thing. And look, Luke 17:3 says, if someone comes to you and confesses or repents seven times in a day, forgive them. That's God's statement on how to manage it. Seven times in a day. Think of how bad that is. Like, you're only awake for about 14 or 16 hours. Like, every 2 hours, you're repeating the same sin. And he's like, if every time they come back and repent, and the first thing we'd say is, that's not real repentance. If you repeat it again, and that's not what the scripture says. If your heart is, Lord, I'm done with it, please forgive me. Like, I want to be off with that and on with the new, and please forgive me for confession, repentance. That's what it looks like. You can get it clean right now. Time in the Word, then confession is the first step in exaltation. All right, prayer. I'm telling you, this could be the worst understood doctrinal piece in all of Christianity. Prayer. James 4:3, you ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your own passions. I just wrote down the phrase there. Look, it's not what I get. That's not what prayer is about. What I get, it's what God gets. Prayer. So all too often we define prayer as like, okay, I need this to happen, so now I'm going to go to prayer. Right? And so the first thing we do is we sit down and we're like, Lord, please do this. And really we're starting to treat it like the magic genie moment, right? And we're rubbing the bottle and it's not happening. And so we rub it again and harder and harder and more vehemently. And we start really pouring it on now. And now we're like, we're going to pray like drops of blood are coming down. I've read that somewhere, right? I'm just going to get passionate about this prayer. And what are we doing? We're saying, God, give me what I want. And everybody say, that's not prayer. That's not prayer. That's a temper tantrum. All right. I want what I want and you'll give it to me. The end. And no, you didn't give it to me. Then I'll say it louder and harder. Oh, that didn't work. Then I'll ask 50 other people to join me and we'll call it a prayer chain. Right? Be very careful how we handle prayer. Are we pursuing God's will or our will? Right? Prayer. There is nothing wrong with being deeply specific. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, as he says, Lord, take this cup from me. Like, Father, do that. Please take this cup from me. It'd be great if I didn't have to go to the cross. Right? And why is that happening? Because in the moment where Jesus humbled himself and became man, he willingly put himself under, said, there's certain things I'm going to check out on my ability to have and the ability of knowing everything. I'm setting it aside and I'm just trusting you, Lord. I'm trusting you and your call. He walked on this earth as you and I do with a little bit of unclarity of what's coming with tomorrow. And he says, Lord, please take this cup from me. Very specific. Now here comes the big part. But not my will be done, your will be done. Prayer. Like, as I see it, it looks like this. Nothing wrong with very specific. So prayer, people either come in and they're like, tempered tantrum demand. Or on the other side, oh, no. You can't ask for yourself. So then here's what you do. You just say, God, just work your will here. And then we never ask for anything. And now we're not leaning on anything. And people are like, hey, did you get an answer to prayer? And you're like, I don't know, I guess. I said for your will to be done and he did something, I guess. So like, that's not really it either. We're missing it. Get both together. Yes, the specific request. Yes, the hand it over, trusting in your will on this. And Lord, there's a health problem going on in my home. And my request is that you would heal that very specifically and very immediately. Will you please take care of that? But your will be done. And whatever you call us to walk through, I will walk through that. And what do you want done here, God? That's prayer. All right? And I wrote down the simple phrase, God, what do you want? As far as I can see, it seems like this to me. So this is what I'm praying. If I'm wrong, show me. Act in your will. I never want what you don't want. That's prayer. You will be shocked and rocked by your time with God when it no longer becomes the temper tantrum demand. I can't tell you how many people I've heard say these words, prayer does not work. Why are they saying that? Because their version of prayer does not work. All right? If somehow you think you demand and command long enough and God finally does what you said, you're missing it. That's not prayer. That's temper tantrum. So step it back up to God, your will. I'm trusting in you. You know everything ever. You can do anything always. I'm just saying, this is what it seems like to me. And if I don't get it right now, please change my heart on it then. And I'm willing to see you work. May you rock my soul. Prayer. You will see God move in your life in so many ways, guys. You start praying for your kids, for your spouse. You pray for your extended family. You start praying for your coworkers. You are going to see an amazing thing happen as you're praying for a friend who's stumbling in something and you're longing for them to see something. And Lord, if it's me that needs to be there with them and for them, show me how. And Father, I'm willing to be available. It seems like this should. And what if? And you will see God do an amazing, amazing work in your life. Encounter time in the Word, and then get to your knees. Exalt. This is where 2 Corinthians 3 says the power of the Holy Spirit pouring over you, the glory of the Spirit, literally changes you. This is where it happens. In confession and then dependent prayer. Confession and dependent prayer, and His glory starts pouring over you. That's life change. Your heart will begin to be transformed. How? I don't know that part. God doesn't say. He just says, I'm telling you, my glory changes you. Let me change you. Get on your knees in confession, and then the true style of request, not to claim it upon your own passions, but to lay it before Him and trust Him with all you have. And then the third part, thankfulness. Philippians 4, it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Do not be anxious. Is that easy to do? As long as it's small, it is, right? As long as it's not really a thing that matters, I can do that anytime. But when it really matters, then I am anxious. How do I not be anxious? Well, He gives us the command right after it. Do not be anxious about anything, first of all. About how much?
Anything.
Dang. If it was do not be anxious about the small stuff, like all of us are pretty good. There's no dependence needed. This call is so huge because it is the anything. So He was saying, look for the big words. Look for those power words. Anything. That's one of those power words. All, every, any. That's God at work times, right? That isn't us at work. We're not consistent at that level. That's God at work. And do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, how much?
Everything.
By prayer and supplication. Remember, that's not me demanding what I get, but Lord, this is how I see it. Now I'm handing it to you. What are you going to do? Can't wait to see you move in this. Prayer. With thanksgiving. See, all too often, we come to God and we're like an expert of all the problems. You know what I'm saying? Let me tell you everything that's wrong, God. And He's like, I know. I get it. Trust me, I see way more wrong than you see wrong. You should have my view of holiness. Right? But we come to God and we really believe that somehow He needs our insight on what's wrong. And because it's bothering us, maybe it's not bothering Him in some way and we're missing that point. No, God truly does get what's happening. He truly does care to hear what's going on in our thoughts, and He wants us to depend on Him. But note the word thanksgiving, that when we come to Him, we're leaning on Him and we're appreciating what He's already accomplished, what He says He will be accomplishing here, and what He's doing for all eternity. Thanksgiving. Keep it in perspective. That's what He's saying. Become an expert of being thankful. You will find your grumbling and complaining dwindles to nothing when you're thankful. In the moments that anxiousness is gripping you, thankfulness is gone. Right? Thankfulness keeps us grounded. Thankfulness keeps us in perspective. Thankfulness keeps us getting what God has done and what God will be doing, and then what's the purpose of this whole thing then? Thankfulness keeps us aware of God's hand. Make sure it's a huge part of your prayer time. And Lord, thank you that I see this about you in the Word. You say that you care, and you say that you're here for us, and thank you for that. And Lord, right? You look for the God statements and the truth statements and the promise statements, as Steve was talking about, and you start thanking Him for those things. Or maybe you're thanking Him very specifically and experientially. Here's a request I have about all of prayer now. Let's put all this exaltation together. Be careful not to make prayer simply you regurgitating. I'm going to say some words here, then we'll go about over it. You regurgitating experiential thoughts. Be careful. It's great that prayer is, here's what I've experienced, here's what I hope to experience, here's what I see going on, God. But don't make it all about your view of what you're feeling and what you're seeing and what you're experiencing. Make sure some of your prayer is word-based. Right? I'm talking tools now to life change. That's what Shane was talking about over these last couple of weeks, is get ready for the third week. It's tools. I'm telling you, if your prayer does not get word-based, you will continue to go to the well of you for fresh perspective, and it won't be fresh. Like, you know you, and you know how to talk you. You do that every day. Start to learn God's view. Dig deep into the Word and start praying that back. Lord, you say this, and this is what I'm trusting in now. Rock me in it. You start praying back that Word with thanksgiving, and seeing the sin as you should see it, confession, and requesting His will and play, I'm telling you, it's going to change your life. Exaltation, it's the difference between muscling it and literally being transformed and going after it. All right? So that's encounter and exalt. Okay? Big deal. That gets us vertical with all we've got. Now it's time for us to go horizontal. And I want to move through these character traits here. We picked five character traits. These come out of the book, Biblical Manhood. And we're going to be getting a copy of that to you at the end. Shane's going to talk through that. So I'm just going to walk through these real quickly. These are five character traits. I pulled them out. I think there were 11 or 12 in the book. But here's a few that are good, needed ones at the center of where you're headed for you to be able to handle life with family, life with friends, life with extended family, life as a coworker. Like, you are a man in many facets of your life. And if you don't go after the breadth of manhood, so hear me on this statement now. If you don't go after the breadth of manhood, spinning all those plates, we're missing biblical manhood. Right? We could be like, dude, you got to work hard as a man. And that's great. And that's true. And so now you're at work and you're putting in the 100-hour weeks nonstop, and you're never at home, and you're never caring for family, and you never really have other friends, and you have no time for the Lord. And everybody say, that's enough. That's not where we're going, man. It is not just that. Or, you know what? Forget that. It's not about that. Pendulum swing it. It's all about just pour it into the family. I'm going to be at home anytime she needs help. I'm going to be there to do whatever. And lame worker, and really not even spending that much time in the Word. But man, am I going to be here for her? And everybody say, that's an F. Right? One third, 33% is an F. And let's make sure we don't miss that, all right? If we're getting into a hardcore work element, if we're getting into the hardcore family element, and we're getting into the time on my knees before the Lord element, now we're starting to get it. Now we're starting to spin some plates, okay? And keeping them all running is where we're going. And that's not an easy task. And usually we're an expert in one area or another. So keep them all spinning. If you're better in the home, get ready to work harder, right? If you're great with friends, get ready to look like, what does this look like in my extended family, in my family, in my workplace? You start figuring out how to better the areas you need to better. And that's biblical manhood, leading in every facet, not one facet. Okay? Clear enough? Here we go. Five character traits. Without heart, behavior modification is all you're going to get. So here we go. Respect of authority. We went over this just a little bit ago, Romans 13. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. Oh, that's reassuring. Right? So here's some let's walk through this and just do the simple little observation statements that Steve was making. I underlined a couple phrases like be subject to the governing authorities. Like, be subject, man, that's a verb. Like put yourself under and get the action you're called to. Yes, the authorities are placed by God and I need to get under them, whether they're my work authorities or whatever the authority might be, sitting under well. It doesn't mean that you don't see things and have thoughts and questions. It's not wrong to go talk to your boss. I worked as an engineer for 17 years. I'm telling you, there were a lot of times we're working with the product. We could see something wrong with it that they couldn't see. And sitting down and talking with them about ways we could fix it and stuff we could improve on it. And then you hand it to them and trust them. They're in charge. It's their call. And whatever we're going to go fix and whatever money we're going to put time into. But here's a feature set we could go after. Here's what our competitor's doing. Here's some things we could talk through. We're not going to do any of that. Oh. Seriously? None of it? Well, we'll look at it in the next generation, not now. All right. And 17 years. I understand what it is to sit under. And there were a lot of times where we had to sidestep things that I thought I saw, things that could have helped. But you still respect the authority and you work hard for them. All right? All right. Respect of authority. Here's a couple of thoughts. Hey, if you're single, you living in your parents' house, I'm okay with that. I mean, that's between you and your parents. I hope it's working out well. But if you're at home and you're living with your parents, here's my request. Remember, you're under their authority now. It is their house. Show that. Show respect to them in that, all right? Do you have a job? If not, please come talk to us afterwards. I hope so. But we would love to be helping you through that and praying on that. And God puts us in seasons where sometimes we don't. And sometimes we need to be wrestling through that. And sometimes that's our job, as God's giving us some heart things to work through. And some tough stuff to work through. But really, in the end, God's called us to toil in this earth, it says, Genesis 3, to work. And there is a call to that. Be respectful of your bosses. Be respectful of your authority. Work hard at that. And are you married? Newsflash, you're the authority in the home. Make sure you're reflecting that by sitting under your true authority, God Almighty. As Shane went through 1 Kings 2, what did it say? Keep these laws and commands, right? Sit under God well, follow well. True leaders truly follow well. True leaders truly follow well. Follow your God with all you've got and call your family to follow you as you follow him. All right? Respect authority. Self-sacrifice and toughness. I love these phrases. These are the words right out of the book, okay? Self-sacrifice and toughness. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is in Christ Jesus. This comes from Philippians 2. It's talking about Christ and his sacrifice as he humbled himself, became a man. He gives us the example of total self-sacrifice. Notice it says, do nothing from selfish ambition. I'm just amazed. God always knows what he's doing. Look at the passage we went through on Sunday. And then look at the stuff we're talking about today. And the plan that we had in place from weeks and months ago as we brought this stuff together. And how much dovetail there is. Like no selfish ambition. Like none of this in the pride talk. None of the telling stories that make much of me. Right? It's this. Make much of our King. Let's get after that with all we've got. Make much of your God. Godly pride, you're pointing it to him at all times. And if you weren't here Sunday, catch that message. It was a big deal message on the simplicity of walking for our God. But in humility, that's not thinking low of yourself. That's just making sure that you put the other person in their needs first, all right? Christ did not walk around thinking he was a loser. But he was humble. He understood his power. He understood his authority. He understood his capability. But he was putting other people's needs first. Humility. All right? It says, therefore, we ourselves boast about you in the churches of God for your steadfastness and faith in all your persecutions and in the afflictions that you are enduring. 2 Thessalonians 1. Are you under the gun right now? Are you feeling the persecution or the pain or the struggle? Is God, seemingly it feels like God has thumb on you? You're like, what? I mean, a lot of us in this room might be in that spot right now. Please hear me. There's a way to stand under that well. And he uses the word steadfastness. That's a very biblical word, right? How many times have you heard that word used in the day? But good words to use. Self-sacrifice and toughness. Toughness. This will not take me down. Lord, I'm trusting in you. I will do what's right. I will go after what's called for. God, I'm hearing from you now. Show me in your word what I need to confess. Reveal to me what I need to go after. And I'm after it. And right now, I'm waiting for you and longing for you to answer in this problem or this struggle. And I'm looking for your healing. And whatever you do, and until you do it, I'm yours. Toughness. Nothing's going to distract my worship. Hear me on this. Your worship is being toyed with at all times. If you're saved, Satan has one choice: to let you worship all out and happy, or wreck that worship, because for eternity, you're his. You're Jesus Christ's. And you will be worshiping for all eternity. So Satan comes in now and says, let's see if we can mess that up for a season. Do not let your worship be toyed with. Nothing takes you off stride from your God. My God can. My God will. And even if my God doesn't, toughness in the worship. That is a man of God. We stand up and we lead with all we have. And you're single. You're like, dude, I do not like being single. And hang tough. Hold on. Who knows what God has in store next for you? Trust him and walk with him and grow in him. And I'm just telling you this. Marriage is a tough run, man. And God might be building something in you right now that could be absolutely for you. Hear from him and grow in him. Let God have his way with you. You may be an employee. And I just wrote these words down. Don't lay low in the boat. Self-sacrifice and toughness. Don't lay so low in the boat that it's like the boss is like, okay, I need somebody to handle this. And you're like, oh man, don't want that to be me. See if I can get a little, send it over there. And whew. Bill stood up and took it. Man, he always takes it. I'm glad for Bill. Then I get to go home a little earlier and I get to, be careful, man. What's God called you there for in that place? Be wise to the balance of the load you take. Please hear me. It's not destroy family. It's not destroy you. But at the same time, he's called you there for a purpose. Are you working heartily as unto the Lord? And what's God called you to? There may be times where you need to raise a little higher in the boat. You need to be stepping out and taking some load. You need to be helping out in that place. And carry that load, man of God. And yes, in the midst of persecution sometimes. Yes, in the midst of tough struggles. But steadfast and no selfish ambition. Please hear me. Don't step up to take it just so people think you're awesome. Step up to take it because your God is awesome. And you're like, Lord, you put me here for a reason, and I can't wait to do whatever needs to be done. What do you want done? Worship. All right? Married. There is no greater diagnosis for selfishness in your life than to be married. Right? Hey, I know. Let's put one sinner next to another sinner and see how well it goes. And then we'll put them really close, like in the same house, and let's see how well that goes. And then we'll have them have differences in personality, and somehow seemingly opposites attract. And so we're always kind of happy that they're different and really angry that they're different. Right. And then the selfishness wells up. And marriage, it's a great diagnosis for it. And there's only one thing greater, and that's being a parent. That'll really get the selfishness out of you. Now they have no, all they can do is lay there. And then they start wandering around dangerously. And you have to give your all into that and care for that. And yeah, that's being a dad and a parent. And it is sacrificing in. And it is putting it on the line. And are you spending time with your kids? That is not the wife's job. That is both of yours' job. Are you spending time with them, playing with them, laughing with them, sacrificing your time and energy? Missing Monday night football. It's usually not that great of a game anyway. And TiVo it if you need to, right? And I'm telling you, catch what you need to catch in a way you can catch it, but spend time doing the responsibilities you have. Marriage and family will burn the selfishness out of you. And they are tough moments along the way, and they are joyful moments along the way as you learn to care for each other well. And it doesn't happen without self-sacrifice and toughness. Character, all right? I just put this at the bottom. Stop being an expert of how you feel and start being an expert of what is needed. Stop being an expert of how you feel and start being an expert of what is needed. It will change your whole approach. One is super introspective and very aware of me. And the other is very aware of others. Remember, do nothing from selfish ambition. Like, get the eyes off of me, get outside of self, and start looking at the needs in the place and the space. What's going on in my home? What's going on with my spouse? She seems pretty down lately. What's happening with and what's taking place in the workplace? And my boss seems really ticked off right now. What's up? And I used to have a lot of those talks with my boss, my development manager and me. Like, I ran the technical side and he ran the management. And I used to walk into his office and go, "Dude, are you all right?" "Yeah, I'm fine." "Seriously, is there something I can help with? Do we need to rearrange something? What's going on?" And "No, I'm good. We are 3 days behind on this and it's killing me. Bosses are eating me up." "Okay. Well, what puts you in a better spot?" "Dude, if we could check these two boxes off today." "Done. I'll go talk to the guys. We'll rearrange some stuff." That stuff is huge for you to spend time being aware of what's going on around you and what's needed. And get in on that and make some stuff happen. And don't just check the box and go home. Self-sacrifice and toughness. All right. Now we've laid it all on the line, handling failure. I hate failure, right? Like, that's not the fun one. But here's the deal. With sin comes the fall. And with the fall comes a broken me and a broken you. And we will fail. Along the way, we will have those drops. So what do we do with them? 1 John 1:9. "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Get it clean before God. Lay it before Him. "Lord, please forgive me." That might be multiple times in a day. Let me rephrase that. That will be multiple times in a day. All right? But He said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Now, we're not even clear what this weakness is that Paul had and this thorn in the flesh that was going on, but he's boasting in it. He's happy for it. He'll hang there with it. God's got some brokenness in me, and He's using that brokenness to bring me along. What are the fears that eat you up? There's the fear of rejection. "Man, I just want to be liked." Right? There's the fear of failure. "Man, I just want to be successful." And then there's the fear of pain. Like, "I do not want to hurt." Which fear eats you up the most? Get ready, because God usually speaks to us through our strongest fear by putting us right into a place where we have to address that. You hearing me? You will have to address that. And it's not you alone. Be strong, right? It's encounter your living God who's got the answers. And it's exalt and worship Him with all you've got. He's walking you through something saying this: "There is no reason to fear. I'm right here with you. You have me. Now let's do this thing." That's God with you. Claim that, thank that, praise that, worship that, and then go after that. It's the hardest thing you'll ever do in your life, and it's the most change you'll ever see in your life as you set it down and let God take over. All right? Handling failure. It is critical to be a man. Cannot handle failure poorly and be a man. Right? We got to admit where we're wrong, and we got to grow from it. Okay. All right, I'm just going to jump ahead here to integrity. I've got a couple other things, but I'll just leave them on the table for another day. Integrity. Whoever walks in integrity walks securely, but he who makes his ways crooked will be found out. What does the word integrity mean? Think about it. What does it mean to you? Okay. So I wrote this word down. I looked it up, a couple different definitions, looked at the original language and in the English. Probably the best for understanding. Wholeness. No fracture. Right? If you want integrity in the hull of your boat while you're out in the ocean, picture that kind of integrity. Even the slightest crack and we're in big trouble. Right? Integrity. And soundness of character is what's implied when we're talking about it with man. Our integrity. Not one crack or fracture in the hull. Okay. So let's break integrity down. Honesty and purity. Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. Matthew 5:37. All right, let's not misquote this. This is not saying only have two words in your vocabulary, right? Only grunt and say yes and no. That's not what it means. So it's talking about guys that were claiming vows. And they were like, hey, Chuck, man, I'm going to be there for you. Like, I swear, I swear by my breakfast that I'm going to be there for you, right? And then later on, I'm like, okay, that's 9 a.m. See you there. And hey, Bart, I hear you, man. I'll be there at 9 o'clock. I swear by my mom. And mom beats breakfast, so now you win. This is what they were doing. And so they'd start promising all over the place, and they put vows on them, and the stronger vow won, right? And he's like, please, be done with the vows. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. When you say you're going to be there, be there. When you say you're going to be about something, be about something. When you say the answer is yes from you, in as much as it depends on you, it's yes. That's how it goes down. Honesty. A wholeness to your character. And down with the vow thing. Down with the I promise or I swear. You shouldn't have to. When you say it, it's good enough. Live on it. All right? So that's the honesty piece. And watch your storytelling and watch your word shaping and watch your, like if you're constantly shaped to everything focuses on you're missing something, you're missing a lot because that's never reality. And be careful what you're doing with all this storytelling. All right? Be careful with how you're trying to draw attention to you. Honesty. It's willing to admit you're also needy. Okay? Being aware of your brokenness as well. Purity, the last piece. So flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Flee youthful passions. Man, we have some decisions to make every day of our lives. This world is ridden with sex. This world is ridden with a passion for money and possession. Here's my question. How are you doing in managing your eyes? Late at night, early in the morning, maybe worse even yet, during the day at work or what you're doing with your phone. And watch what you're taking in. The passion or the desire for sex is God-given. The taking of it outside of the marriage environment is wrong. Let's not go there. It'll eat you alive, man. And you know it's wrong, and now your conscience starts screaming, and now you're hating yourself, and now it drags you down. And you've ever noticed this? When you feel bad about yourself in an area, when you fail in something, all of a sudden you're harder on every other area of your life, including your spouse, including your kids. You start getting rougher because you don't like this, and you're feeling the pressure of it, and you're unleashing over here. and it isn't balancing it out, watch yourself. Sin will eat you alive. And the lust thing, let go. The wrong things I'm watching, the wrong things I'm thinking. I read a book. I was in seminary. I was staying at Moody for the week, and I was sitting in a dorm there. You stay in the dorms in the weeks where the kids are out. That's how they work it there. And the kids had all their books there. So some 18, 19-year-old kid had a book that was on purity. And I'm sitting there late at night. I've got my work done for the week. And so I pull it out, and it's every young man's battle. So there's every man's battle. Then there's every young man's battle. I'm like, oh, every young man's battle. I'll pull that out. So I'm reading through it, and just the talk through how to manage yourself. The simple phrase, bounce your eyes. I don't know if you know what that means. So the first look can't be helped. Your eyes work. So as you're walking along and you see something, okay, the next look is on you. And as you glance and see someone beautiful and you begin to use your eyes to turn that over to lust, get your eyes off. Bounce off. All right? And my wife and I had a talk. She's like, so how's it going? And I said, hey, I'm just going to be really transparent and let me tell you what I'm reading. And here's where I'm at. And bounce your eyes. And told her about it. And it was a number of weeks later, and we were out to a dinner. And a girl walked by, and she was wearing what she probably should not have been wearing, but she was wearing very short and very tight. And as she's walking by, very in shape. And I glanced over and I looked back, and I'm like, the left side of the room looks awesome. You know, I'm just going to start watching over here. And Jana's eating, and she goes, you just bounced your eyes, didn't you? I said, yeah. Are you all right? She goes, oh, yeah, I'm great. I said, what are your thoughts on that? And she said, I feel honored. You hear me? Like, I'm telling you, they may not totally get the whole visual stimulation thing. But as soon as they embrace even a little bit of it, you being willing to battle that, to honor them, huge deal. Watch your eyes. Watch what you're taking in. Watch your lust. Watch your heart going awry. Keep it as pure as you can. Confess it as soon as it comes up wrong. And get that thing back right. Okay? And we start talking about these different pieces of the heart. Integrity and handling failure. Self-sacrifice and toughness and respect of authority. You get those things rocking, you will see life change. And all of God's men said, here's my request, guys. Dig into the Word. Let God rip you. Get on your knees and worship Him. Let His Spirit change you, and then go after some character change and watch this thing unleash. That God might be glorified, that your family might be cared for, that your friends are cared for, that your work is impressed with, your God that's teaching and leading you, that you might be a man of God. All right? Let me just pray real quick, and I'll bring Shane up. Father, we thank You for who You are. Lord, we thank You for all that You do in our lives. And God, we just hand this over to You now. Each and every one of us, Lord, as we go out this morning, help us to be men of God as we're driving in the on the road, as we're taking care of attitude, as we're working with those coworkers today, as we're thinking about our spouses, as we're longing to care for You and worship You. Help us each and every moment to be strong because we're in You, worshiping You, and have it kill in our lives as we're transformed into something we can't even imagine, to worship You all the more. Thank You for all You do in our lives. You are awesome, Lord. In Your name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, hey, a great challenge for us as men to encounter God, to exalt Him, to be in awe of who He is, and to allow that to overflow into our relationships as we lead as men. And so one thing that we want to put in your hands as you leave today, it's just this little book. It's called A Guide to Biblical Manhood. And as Pastor Tim shared, some of the things that we shared the last 2 weeks came out of this book, and kind of reemphasize and add to some of that. And so Matt and Pierce are going to come forward and just kind of pass these out down the rows to you guys. And you can tell it's not a very big book. It's not very thick. It's kind of small. It's a great read that you can plow through this week, next week, and really as you leave here, kind of get some reinforcement to some of the things that we've talked through. And so So hopefully you'll be able to dive into that this week and be encouraged by this as well. And so, hey, just last thing we're going to do real quick as we wrap up here. If you have a few minutes before you roll out, we just ask maybe that you grab the person next to you or two or three people around you. If you don't know them, just introduce yourself real quick and maybe just share one thing that you're challenged and encouraged to do this week and pray for each other as we depart. All right, so these guys are going to give you a book, and if you can, just turn around right where you are, or just grab the person next to you, and say, "Man, this really encouraged me today. Can you pray for me for this?" And we'll call it a day. So thanks for coming this morning, and make sure you get a book before you leave. All right.